Good morning, and thank you for standing by. All participants' lines will be opening for the duration of today's conference. To help eliminate background noise, you may press star six to mute and unmute your phone lines if needed. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to introduce your host for today's call, Ms. Laura Knapp. Ma'am, you may begin.
Well, good day, everybody, whether you're live or listening to this recorded, and hope that you've had a great quarter selling, and future quarters will be very profitable for many of you. One of the things that's critical to our success is the ability to work with our clients and ensure that they understand not just the products that we have, but as many of you have heard, the value of those products and what they bring to the table. You heard earlier from Cy Englert, who discussed a tool that we have that is used across software group in STG that allows us to focus from a product solution area in some of these on some of these issues. But we actually need more. And so today we're going to have Gregory Price, who is over the industry BVA team, and Regan Schallstone, who I have worked with on many occasions directly with our customers, go into more depth on this critical element within our selling portfolio. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Greg.
Thank you, Laura. I appreciate everybody joining today. Let me give a quick introduction to myself, and then we'll jump right into this. So, again, my name is Greg Price. I work for Mark Easton on the industry Tiger team, and I run the business value assessment practice within that team. I've been with IBM for the last 8 years. I came over with the CrossWorld software acquisition and joined WebSphere back in 2002 and ran tech sales on the East Coast for the first year. And as part of what I brought over from CrossWorlds was I ran pre-sales consulting in the U.S. for CrossWorlds, and as part of that we had both business consultants from a pre-sales perspective and also technical consultants. And as part of the business consulting side, we built out a practice around doing business cases. And we brought that into IBM from the WebSphere perspective, and in the second year, we turned that into a worldwide practice. I joined that team and spent 4 years there building out business value assessment capabilities within WebSphere. And 3 years ago, I came over. Mark Easton asked me to come over to the industry team and really kind of focus on our industry frameworks and how we can turn this into a practice selling to line of business. So I've been on this team the last 3 years. I guess this is my fourth full year here. And prior to IBM, I spent 4 years at CrossWorlds, as I mentioned. But I've been in the pre-sales consulting area for the last 15 years or so. And then I spent 7 years at Ernst & Young doing systems consulting work. I was a senior manager there and worked a lot on SAP implementations and so forth. And I come from a technical IT background to begin with. Spent 4 years as a systems analyst with Dow Chemical Company. So technical into consulting, into pre-sales consulting, and I've been doing this kind of work here around BVAs for the last, basically 7 years full-time. So that's my background. And as we go through this today, let's keep this open and informal. I believe the lines are open here. So if you have questions, please feel free to jump in as we go through this, and obviously we'll have some time at the end here to handle questions. So without further ado here, let's go to, I'm assuming everybody has the PowerPoint up on their laptops. Please let us know if you don't. They were sent by Laura here this morning. It's entitled Software Group Industry Business Value Assessment Overview. If you go to slide 2 on the agenda, I'm going to give you a quick overview of our team, talk about what an IBVA is, why we do them, give you an overview of our methodology, talk about some of our plans for 2010, and then how you can get access to resources. So let's go to slide 3. And so if you put this in show mode, you can go ahead and hit it. We'll go go right to the chase here. Why do our clients buy our solutions? At the end of the day, it really is all about the money, right? I mean, implementing Tivoli Security or implementing WebSphere is a hard job. As you guys know, these projects take a long time, and projects are always over budget, and it's obviously something that the company's invested in, because at the end of the day, they understand what's at the end of the project, which is the value they expect to get, from the solutions we're selling them. And value's measured in a lot of ways. It's a pretty overused term. We need to really kind of focus on what that means from a business case perspective. If you guys listened to Robert LeBlanc's call the other day, you can see that on the Q3 all-hands call, value is just kind of front and center in what we're doing now. Now, there are a couple reasons people may not, implement projects because of a business case. And there are only a couple things like Sarbanes-Oxley where they're forced to do it, which eventually should drive business value, or if it's a competitive kind of scenario. But in general, most of our customers are looking for solid reasons that are measurable to do work with us. And if you go to the next slide, understanding this, is really more important than ever. In the dot-com era, as you guys remember, a lot of people invested heavily in infrastructure and building kind of the field of dreams and hoping that, they would grow their business and people would use the software that was bought. And, you can take that correlation to selling SOA today as an example, right? You don't buy SOA as an infrastructure. You buy it and implement a project and then get reuse, afterwards. So, really, people are focused on that. If you look at this slide, this was actually from Robert LeBlanc's Q1 all hands call. And if you look at some of the bullet points here, in all of the geos and including the growth markets, contract value and short term ROI are key on people's minds. CFOs are having to approve are in the decision making process now on IT expenditures. Budgets have been reduced drastically. People are really focused on, making sure that they're getting payback in a very short time, typically within a calendar year or within a budgeting cycle. So this is something that's critical. We saw after last year at this time when the market crashed, we've seen, demand for what we do more than double. We get it, my team on the industry side, and again, we're going to take this from the industry perspective now, but Brigham will confirm this later on from a Tivoli perspective. We're fielding about 40 to 50 requests for doing, complex business cases prior to the crash. And we had over 80 in October, November last year per month. And obviously, we've seen the demand, based on what's happened. So if you go to the next slide, I'm not going to beat this with the dead horse too much, but if you went through our sales model for growth last year, and if you listened to those presentations, you can see that we were already starting to focus on the client value dimension, making sure that we really can articulate the value proposition and really start to look at enhancing industry knowledge and put this in context of solutions. In consultative solution selling. If you look at I'm sure most of the folks on the phone have been through, they understand the client value initiative and where CVM is and how we're aligned with that. If you go and read the basis of that methodology, it's really focused on value. And we obviously know the demand's increasing. And so if you look at that and look at what BVAs in general do, we're totally aligned with what's happening in the marketplace. What we've designed from a BVA perspective is typically, we're fast cycle, focused at C-level executives and engagements that focus on both line of business and IT and look at this from an industry SOA and a brand perspective. And I'm going to go through our methodology here a little later, but we're focused specifically on pre-sales software group opportunities. So if you go to the next slide, this just kind of again highlights within the client value method the need and the importance now of doing value selling along the entire sales cycle and focus on business value from the first time you're discussing an opportunity internally with the IBM team to implementation and confirming what the value is on the back end. And our team is working with a number of groups within IBM to solidify and build out a methodology to actually measure results. A couple of the teams are doing that today, but we're not very good at it. And obviously, if you can do that, you've got the best reference you could possibly have. If you've done the work, you've teed it up front in the development cycle of developing the opportunity to closure of what's the value, what it's going to be, and then how am I going to measure it through the implementation cycle, both from an IT perspective and a business perspective, and then confirming that on the back end, that leads right back into a new sales cycle. So there's a huge market shift, and I believe that because of the current economic condition, I think fundamentally the way we sell has changed, and I think it's going to change forever, based on how we're going from an industry perspective and a value perspective. So I'll stop for a second. Any questions on that? I know some of that's motherhood and apple pie, but that kind of tees up, kind of why we're in business here. So let's, no questions, let's go to chart number 7. So a quick overview of our team. So we have a team of specialists that have, deep software experience, typically came from the brands and moved more into a cross-brand role, whether it's, SOA or industry frameworks, have a pretty deep consulting experience. A lot of the folks on the team have come from GBS or consulting firms like Ernst & Young. And typically have some industry background, whether it's specializing in something like retail distribution or financial markets or banking or insurance, and typically major and minor in those. So all of our folks are aligned by industry. And you'll see most of the Tiger teams today are aligning that way. So we helped build out the unified sales process, which we're actually working on across all the groups right now. You guys, I'm sure, will start to hear more about that from a Tiger security Tiger team perspective. But if you look at the information management team, they have aligned the same way we are. So they've got an information management architect for the information agenda. They've got a information agenda BVA consultant. They have a sales rep who comes from deep industry background. So that's how we're aligned. Obviously our role is to partner, with you, the account teams, the SSRs, the CSSRs, the ISSSRs, and obviously our clients, to understand how we're applying the technology stack across IBM, to solve their problems. And obviously, as a big part of that, we want to determine the financial value of the recommended solution, obviously in their context, relative to their, to their current environment, how they're going from a current to an as-is, architecture. And then obviously, we work with them at whatever levels they want to us to work with them, whether it's steering committee or board or within project teams to, present the deliverables that we've developed throughout the process, and obviously, help them visualize and understand what the business impact is going to be. And we'll talk about the tools here a little later on. If you go to the next slide, obviously this is a great slide. And I think paints a pretty good picture of what we're trying to do in a value assessment, especially from an industry perspective. And now, we'll talk about later on what that means from a Tivoli security perspective. But, obviously what we're trying to prove is number one, how are we going to increase, the top line and how are we going to impact revenue? So from an industry perspective, we're obviously focused on that and working with the line of business execs to understand how something like I'll give you an example, customer care and insight using, master data management is going to allow them to cross-sell and upsell, to their current customer base. That would be one example of a revenue benefit. If you look at the project side, obviously, we've got to understand what the investment is, what the timelines are, the roadmaps for implementation, and then obviously once the project's implemented, we want to be able to understand how we're going to reduce operations costs of the business. So how are we going to reduce the number of CSRs, client service reps, that may be required to answer phone calls, as an example. And then obviously we want to understand it specifically from an IT perspective of how are they getting more efficient and effective based on using our technology SOA principles and how that allows them to get faster time to value. Right, so this chart kind of really, there's only three things we focus on. It's revenue, operations cost, and then how do we make IT more efficient and effective. So if you look at most of the business cases we built, they're always along those three lines. So let's move to the next slide. So from an industry perspective, you know, obviously, we have all come from a consulting background, so we're really doing consultative solution selling, which is, you know, obviously what the Tiger teams are focused on. And obviously we're looking at not only quantifying the value but qualifying it from a perspective of you know, where are we getting our numbers? Are they coming from, you know, the specific people we're working with? How are we documenting them? Do we have industry analyst reports? Do we have client examples? And when we go down this path, you know, really what we're trying to do is tee us up as a trusted advisor within the organization that we're working with. So we're taking it from that perspective. We're coming in as in partnership with them from a pre-sales consulting perspective. And if you look at, you know, kind of what do we do as a deliverable out of this, obviously, we'll talk about the methodology later, but really, don't take this as, you know, all we do is build a business case, because really this is a whole sales cycle. And what we're doing is adding in the consultative solution piece as one output is a business case. And the business case is really how do you tell the story to the customer relative to their, you know, environment of why they should partner with us with the software we're providing. And you know, if you look at how critical this is in the sales cycle, especially in this environment, you know, I mean, sure, you guys have been around, you know, how do we look at the deal making and how do we, you know, discount on how do we use, you know, passport advantage and discount. If you sell around value, you can turn the discussion from, you know, a pricing discussion and a discount discussion to the value we're going to deliver, which allows us to insulate that, you know, that piece of the pie of trying to have the customer push us for discounts. Obviously, all of our customers today are having to build business cases. We've got lots of case studies on this. I work with a lot of clients directly that tell me today, not only are they required to build the business case, they typically have to review these business cases on a 6 to 12 month period, and they have to show incremental value along the way. So this is really in alignment with what we're trying to do with CVM. Right now, obviously, what if you're looking at a customer's current state, and they've got options to either do nothing or buy from us or a competitor, you know, we really need to look at it from, you know, how do we differentiate ourselves, and how do we, you know, make sure that if it's a competitive total cost of ownership type of scenario, you know, how do we prove our technology and SOA infrastructure is better than you know, their options out there in the market. So that's something we'll kind of touch on here in a little bit. And then the last bullet point on here is the way we present this to customers are that, you know, we're willing to invest with them and partner with them to help them build their business case. And I think the key point there is if you build the business case with them to where they become, you become the trusted advisor and we become the mentor to them, that they end up owning the numbers, become emotionally attached, and it becomes their business case. So we really kind of want to look at this as you know, this isn't, we don't present this as free. We present it as in partnership with you. You know, here is how we will work with you through this engagement, how we'll partner with you, who we're going to need access to get this done. And if they're willing to engage at that level, obviously we don't put together a statement of work, but it's more of a letter of understanding as to how we will engage with them in these kind of projects. Okay, so we'll go to the next slide. Any questions there? All right, so, you know, from our client's perspective, you know, I don't need to go through all these bullet points, but the net of this is look, in this environment, every customer we work with is building a business case. And they're expecting us to be able to do this with them. And if you take it from their perspective, every time they're buying something from IBM, it's a first-of-a-kind business case. Otherwise, they would have been through it before, right? So if we can give them a structured way to approach it, and we can show them a methodology, and we can show them that we've, you know, got models and customer case studies of how to look at the value for a specific solution like Tivoli Security. You know, there's a lot of value add, and since they're required to do it, and typically they aren't that good at building business cases, if we can help them through that, you know, obviously we make them look good, and obviously they'll be more willing to partner with us. Now, again, if we're not asking these questions early on in the sales cycle, which ought to be, you know, the first time we meet with a client on a net new opportunity, is how are you making the decision, who's building the business case, and how can we help you? If we're not asking that, our competitors will be, and either they're going to be trying to do it themselves, and they'll probably be doing it badly because they don't have the resources and the background to do it, or they're going to be partnering with a third party, and we've seen that happen. And if you ask those questions early in the sales cycle, you'd be amazed as to how they would open their doors to us. We at Cardinal Health, we asked them that, and we found out it was Accenture was building the business case behind the scenes. And they actually told us to work with Accenture to actually help them understand how they would build a business case for the software stack we were trying to provide to them, and actually guided them to do that. And we ended up closing a very sizable deal here last year with that. So we really need to understand, you know, how they're evaluating it and how we can play a part. If you go to the next slide, slide 11. So obviously, you know, from an industry perspective, you know, we want to link our solutions to the business. Obviously, we know this increases our win rate, it grows the deal size. I'll show you some numbers here a little later. But, you know, from an industry perspective, you know, we're trying to gain access to line of business folks. Whether it's CEO, president, chairmen, division heads, what have you. And we've been able to break through, you know, leveraging the client execs, leveraging the CSSSRs, leveraging the ISSSRs, and coming at this the sales cycle from a more of a consultative solution perspective. And obviously, we always partner with IT on these, but, you know, we've been very successful in kind of breaking down the barriers that IBM has kind of had over the past, because we've typically sold IT solutions to IT people. And we're trying to take a different slant on that. And when we talk about industry frameworks, obviously we look at the foundation, then what the brands bring, and then what industry-specific content we can bring to the table, and then obviously on top of that, what GBS can bring to the table from an asset perspective and from an industry and line of business perspective. So that's kind of where we're focused. Obviously, when we do this, we've been able to, you know, increase the deal size and the software footprint. You know, get lots of examples of this. I'll give you kind of one quick example here. Borders Books, you know, back about a year or 2 years ago, we had a 300K portal deal that was stuck. They asked us to come in, and we really kind of started, you know, and the IT folks were trying to buy portal. And we were trying to sell that into them. By the time we kind of went in there and said, well, why are you looking at Portal? And can you open up the business to us so we can kind of understand this from a business perspective? By the time we looked at the marketing organization, HR, store management, and understood what their requirements were, we looked at it, and it was really not a Portal deal. It was more of a commerce kind of scenario. We ended up selling, you know, enterprise content management, you know, commerce and portal, and increase the deal size to, you know, $1.5 million. So if we do this and do it right, you know, we can make these, you know, cross-brand opportunities and obviously make the deals larger. You know, you look at the average deal size with an IBVA, actually this number's old. In first half of this year, we were up to $700K. So we're typically selling large, complex deals where they're cross-brand, and we're averaging about three brands per deal that we do from the industry side. So we'll have to talk about that later as a next step as to how can we look at Tivoli Security and how can we, you know, broaden the scope of those opportunities to include, you know, additional brand, you know, software and opportunities into those deals. If you go to the next slide, you know, here's just a you can see how we're growing. This is our first half numbers. I've got Q3, but we're waiting for a couple of other things to come in from a framework perspective. But obviously, we're growing the business. You know, our win rates, our wins are actually, you know, obviously going up. Our completions are going up. Revenue influences, is up heavily, again, because of the fact that we're focusing on larger, more complex industry framework-type deals. You look at our revenue per resource in the first half was pretty large. Again, mostly we're trying to focus on the frameworks, but a lot of times we get in just as we start to understand the problem and diagnose what they're trying to do, as we start to prescribe a path or a course of action, it's not always tied directly to a framework. And we have been very successful in selling that way, you know, as we started the industry team to where we are today. But our movement is more towards, obviously, the frameworks. You can see that, the color coding here is, we're trying to grow this. I'll show you some numbers here later because we are adding folks. We've actually added one to Japan and two to Latin America here in Q3. We're at 36 folks now on our team, and we're growing. The projection is to grow to 45 worldwide here by the end of Q1. So you can kind of go through this. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but you can see we're not only tracking by geo, but by sector, and you can see some of the big wins we're involved in. Go to the next slide. For every one of these deals we do, we put together a one-pager. And we highlight what we do. We have repositories of all of the deals we work on, the deliverables, and this is what we put out in our win reports. This is one example where, this is obviously a large deal that is part of our insurance operations of the future framework. We went in with GBS on this, and we closed a sizable deal in Q4, and then we've been closing business throughout the year along the lines of this framework. But you can see on the right, the deliverable, we'll talk about, what tools and techniques we use. But in any assessment we do, obviously the technical side of this is as important as what we do from the business side, because obviously if you're going from a current state to a to-be state, the key is how is their reference architecture changing, right? And then what is the roadmap to implementation, and how does the value get achieved over that roadmap. So, you have access to these. I'll show you where to go to get these later. The next slide, 14, and I'm not going to go through these in detail, but I added three examples of where our team has worked with Tivoli to sell at an industry level or partner with Regan and her teams, from an industry brand perspective. This example for JPMC, we've been working with Lawrence State's team and from the cloud computing perspective. And you can see we used a lot of our techniques in this. We actually did process-level analysis on this opportunity for cloud computing. But the key on this one is that on the bottom left, we talked earlier about the importance of quick ROI and payback. This is the kind of deal that sells, right? And this has direct cost takeout to the business. An ROI of 435%, which is typically high for us, typically shooting for between 200 and 300% is something that's digestible. But with a payback period in 10 months, this deal, we actually did this assessment in January and closed this in Q1. So as we start to look at, Tivoli Security, and you're looking at, cost takeout types of scenario or risk, these are the kind of areas we want to kind of focus on. The next one you can see has got Tivoli in it. This obviously Maximo is more of a solution sell for us, but there are some other pieces and parts here. This is kind of if you look at the cross-brand types of scenarios that we sell, this is another example where Tivoli was in the mix. If you go to the next slide, one we did specifically for TD Bank around provisioning, a nice assessment we worked on with them where we used, some of the tools that were out there already for Tivoli, plus added more of an industry spin to this. This deal is not closed, but it's a great example of how we can build a solid business case working with the Tivoli's folks. I did go back and try and do some investigation into our repository where we'd worked with Tivoli Security, and I really couldn't find any at this point. So I'm going to go back in and talk to the geos, and because some of the times the way we categorize things, it may not be apparent. So I'm going to look at that and see if we have any examples. But this is obviously, you know, we want to engage with you folks on how do we partner with you from the industry's perspective, and then bring Riggan and the brand specific BVA resources into the mix. Let's I'm going to stop here and take a breath and a drink of water here. Before we go on to the next slide, do we have any questions? I heard this group wasn't shy, so I'm sure we'll get some here at the end.
Hey, Greg.
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay, Michel speaking. One quick question regarding competition. When you do this type of exercise, did it happen that it led to competitive sales where we prove that the project is, valuable, they can have a return, and then they challenge us on the product themselves and then choose the competitor? Or do you see that as a way to hook the customer in a closed relationship with IBM, and that often leads to IBM sales?
Yeah, that's a great question. And when we get into this on a deeper level, if you only focus on the business side and don't, you know, bring IT in and do the differentiation, you do expose yourself to that, where we become, you know, they use our input into an RFP. We have had that happen. The way to block that is to, again, play that trusted advisor role and make sure that we're partnering with the SUITAs and the CETAs and the brand IT architects and the Tiger teams to really understand how do we differentiate ourselves if it's coming down to an IT decision. And that's how we need to really kind of play that. So, yeah, that is an exposure if you don't do both sides of the house. So when we talk about return on investment, you've got the business benefit side of the house, which is the return, but the investment side is where we need to be good at understanding, you know, what's it going to cost from an IBM perspective, both software services long-term, day-to-day care and feeding, upgrades, and so forth, and then how do we work with our competitive teams within the brands to differentiate ourselves against the competition. Now, we can never really say that we know exactly what it's going to cost or take from the competitor's perspective, but what we need to do is use the data that we have from our competitive teams to put the fear and doubt in the minds of the customer to ask the hard questions to our competitors. Number one, build a business case. You build your own business case, and by the way, here are the questions we want to ask. Now, we've been pretty successful in that in some instances, and we really ought to look from a Tivoli perspective at the competitive teams as to what they can feed you. Now, I'll give you one example in WebSphere. We started competing heavily against SAP NetWeaver, and we actually worked with one of our partners, Miracle Software, to actually and our competitive teams to decompose the architecture and do side-by-side comparisons and keep KPIs and metrics around what it was taking to build, to change, design code unit test, and actually understand at a pretty deep level to say, you know, where do they have to write BPEL versus where do we generate it, those kind of scenarios. And we feed that to the customer to say, here's what you need to do on the investment side, you know, if you're looking at, you know, and sometimes we know what the competitor is. So in those cases, it's really, our development and competitive resource organizations that have to really kind of feed, you know, the sales teams with that kind of data. So that's a great, great question. Hopefully that answered it.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Hey, Gregory, this is David Pfeiffer. On your case studies here, in general, who's usually approaching you guys? Who's asking for the help on these case studies you've got here?
Well, typically, it's our reps. It's the client exec and the CSSSR and ISSSR that are trying to get our teams engaged with the customer. And typically, it is the project owner and or an executive sponsor in line of business that's actually funding the project. And what we're seeing in the marketplace now that you know, IT does not have as much control of the budget as they used to have. So it's typically coming down from line of business, and they are typically the ones that are driving these projects. And so our typical sponsor is going to be somebody at a pretty high level. I'll give you an example. At AXA, Equitable in New York. We're working on a case with them right now, and we're you know, all the way up to the CFO, CEO, and SVP level, who are looking at how are they transforming AXA from their current scenario to a customer-centric scenario and what they're calling Customer Data 2012. And so this is coming from top down, and all of the budget's being held at their level. And they're pushing it down to actually their IT organization. It happens to be a separate company. And they're actually pushing the budget down to them. So in this case, our sponsors are typically, and so we're working with IT on this. So we've got, you know, both the CIO and an SVP that are kind of our co-sponsors on this thing that are asking us to say, look, you know, here's what's going to governance to make decision on capital expenditures for 2010. We need these numbers by, you know, November of 2009. And here's what it's got to look like. It's got to have a minimum ROI of 300%, and it's got to have a payback within 12 months, and I got to have a roadmap that shows me how to get there. And if it doesn't get above the line to even get to governance, and then when it gets to governance, where they're starting to evaluate separate capital projects, you know, how can we make sure ours gets on the list? So typically, when we're coming at it from an industry perspective, we're pretty high level up. We'll get pretty high up in the organization with IT. With IT partnering with us, so we're typically at CTO, CIO, you know, plus a sponsor that's owning the project from a line of business perspective.
Thank you.
Yep. And again, that's not always true. If you look at some of the Tivoli ones, there, you know, sometimes you know our window into the organization is through IT, and then IT takes us to line of business. That happens a lot. You know, we're obviously trying to change that, but. You know, if it's an IT solution and we're already working with IT, you know, it could be kind of a different scenario. And we may probe to say, you know, how can we help take this to the business as to why they need to change, right? And how can we get them to have budget support? So, all right, so let's go on here for a second. So if you look at slide 17, you know, so, it's the work that we're working on with the cross Tiger Team folks is to put together a unified sales process where we have kind of interchangeable content and context between the Tiger teams, and then down to the to the actual reps in the field. And so as part of that, we've kind of built up a methodology over time that we're putting our slant on how the industry folks and the SOA folks and how do the brand Tiger teams come about this to align with CVM. So if you look at kind of our methodology today, which we're trying to morph into this unified sales process, is, look, we come at it from a line of business, play scenario of where are the typical pain points in these businesses where we have solutions. Open that up to how do we call on line of business execs, you know, going in through our client execs and our ISSSRs, our industry sellers, you know, partnered obviously with the cross-brand folks and the brand folks. To then understand, where am I going to look for change and value, and build the case, which obviously is based on an architectural solution that obviously then takes us to, a framework type of solution, and then look at what's the next thing that we can put in the pipe. So it's kind of a pretty basic chart here, but this is kind of where we act, and the big heavy lifting comes in this, build the value and architect and propose scenario. And if you go to the next slide, this is kind of basic consulting 101, which is current state analysis, understand the goals and requirements, do a future state design, do a gap analysis, and understand the business impact, and build that all around an architectural solution that we're going to propose. So this isn't rocket science, but it's basic consulting 101. And to make this real, if you go to slide 19. We have built out a methodology for how do we get to done with the business value teams. So we've kind of all kind of gravitated around a common nomenclature and so forth to talk about things in context of a business value assessment. We've standardized on tools and so forth. But this is not to be linear. If we were going to do something soup to nuts, this is how it might look. But I think, again, the key point on this is that top bar, which talks about, how do we bring thought leadership and mentoring to to our customer as we help them build their business case. And we have got a number of types of workshops that we use along the cycle. And again, you know, the different brands will come into this at different, you know, there are different on-ramps to this set of workshops. I'll go through them real quickly. So obviously this notion of high-level business and IT alignment. So this can be anything from, you know, component business modeling light to just how do I align and do value alignment up front before I start a business value case. So we really get the sponsors and from a line of business and IT perspective kind of lined up as to what we're going to go do and really understand kind of where they are in time. So sometimes we go down a maturity level, right, and then we'll use, you know, whatever's out there in the market, whether it's stuff that IBM has from a component business modeling perspective to open standards boards like TOGAF to, you know, how does that look in comparison to what our framework has to offer, and then look for gaps and then projects. And then we'll typically go down to the now that we have a project where they're at maturity level A and we want to take them to B along a roadmap, you know, then how do we go prove the value for those specific projects? And we'll use all kinds of different techniques. So we use Webster Business Modeler to model as is the 2B architectures or 2B processes. We use the rational tools to do data modeling to show as is the 2B, and we look at it from a role perspective. Obviously, we always have to build that solution architecture because if we don't have a solution architecture, we don't know what to build a business case on, obviously. So this is where the partnership comes in with, you know, the sales and IT folks and architects to really understand that at whatever level the customer wants to go, whether it's high level, strategy around a reference architecture, or if we have to go deep into the architecture. We use there's a technique we use called Day in the Life, which was built by the Portal team, which allows us to build a visualization of how somebody's job is going to change based on the middleware we're implementing. You know, sometimes if you look at what we're selling a lot, and we started to move more to, you know, some types of solutions like, you know, Maximo Enterprise Asset Management, it's got and Cognos, those are line of business type of solutions. But in general, you know, most of the middleware we sell is plumbing behind the walls, right? So how do you make that real for a customer? We use this technique called visualization, which shows integration at the glass, and we can mock up how somebody's, you know, daytime job will change based on their role. Very successful in a lot of these industry types of scenarios. And then obviously the back end is to build the financial business case out of this. So all of this flows into this final chapter of what are the actual numbers. And that's where we spend, you know, a lot of our time with our folks on our teams is to spend the time on building that business case. If you look at the next slide real quickly, so we have two types of financial cases that we do typically. It's the cost benefit analysis piece of really understanding what the benefits are to line of business and how is that going to look at from a cost perspective from the IT solution we're implementing. And then obviously the bottom half of this is if we get into that, you know, that hard TCO comparative analysis. Obviously, which can be tough at times because obviously we don't know, you know, what our competition's cost structures look like or again, you know, if we don't go deep into our competitive teams to really understand how that might look, it's kind of hard to do. So, you know, one piece of the pie, here's our TCO, what's the competition's, the customer may have to ask and then they can do the further analysis or we may simulate it based on what we have from our competitive labs. If you look at the next slide, 21, again, this all comes back to what we talked about earlier of you know, if I look at a benefits case, I'm really looking at those benefit categories of revenue, operating costs for the business, and then the reduction of IT cost and time to value. And then obviously on the investment side, you know, you can explode that into a lot of categories that we might need to take into consideration. If you look at the next slide, slide 22, obviously from a TCO perspective, IBM solutions may be more at the beginning, but if you got to really look at this over time. If you look at, take this to the next slide, this is the kind of this is kind of what we're trying to prove in a TCO analysis. And you folks may be dealing with this more from a Tivoli security side than we do at an industry level. But if you look at this next slide, you know, the net of this is look, you know, most of the cost, I'm looking at slide 23, most of the cost, you know, isn't in software and implementation. You know, it's you know, the marriage costs is minimal compared to the day-to-day living together for the next, you know, 10 years of the solution. And what we really need to do is really take a hard look at how that might look like. And if you look at, you know, things like, you know, we've done great competitive analysis around things like JBoss, which is, you know, yeah, it's free. It's free like a puppy is free. But then when you take it home, you know, you have to give it its shots, and you got to feed it, you got to take it for walks, and you've got to take it to the vet. Those are the things we need to show, and we've got great models for that at the brand levels. And I don't know what exists exactly from the Tivoli perspective. Maybe Regan can talk about this, but you know, obviously, this is something in a model that you know we have tried to look at when we go at that IT level, where you're doing kind of a comparative analysis of us versus someone else. I'll stop there and take a breath. See if anybody has any questions. All right. So hopefully all that makes sense. Go to the next slide. You know, again, putting this all together. You know, the net of this is the methodology we have. If you take this from, you know, how do we look at the frameworks and the line of business and look at, you know, kind of where we can add value to, you know, doing the business case analysis, whether we're using process modeling or what have you, to, you know, how do they visualize it, to the value, to the roadmap, to an architecture. You know, we're taking this down the whole line. So it's really the whole sales methodology. It's not, again, I think a good takeaway here is you know, we're not just putting numbers into a calculator and building just the financial piece. It's how do you get Team IBM to work together throughout the process to put all these pieces together in a solution cell. All right, so let's go to slide 25. You know, obviously, you know, from a timeline, we're typically quick in and out, and you know, we try and keep our deals, since we're pre-sales, to kind of taking place over kind of a four-week period, to qualified engagement, to, you know, kicking it off, to customer doing prep work off, you know, on-site to before we show up, to conference calls and checkpoints, to a focused, you know, 1 week, you know, typically 2 to 3 days, you know, sometimes goes more, to do the detailed interviews, to going off-site and building out the business case. Now, you know, again, this is what we strive for. Some of our first-of-a-kinds, the first time we did an account opening in financial services for banking, you know, took us 12 weeks with a couple of people on-site almost that whole time. But what we did was we harvested that content and built process models around our IFW models for banking and using our tools to build out a model that we then took to the next place and did it in 6 weeks. Now we can do these things in about 2 to 3 weeks around specific line of business plays tied into some of our frameworks. But again, if we're trying to propose this with a customer, we're trying to get in and out in a fairly quick manner. Now, you know, some of the brands operate a little differently. I'll let Regan talk about, you know, typical cycles for Tivoli here in a minute. You know, obviously we try and run these things. If you go to slide 26, you know, setting the right expectations with the customer as to what, you know, we try and set this up like a mini consulting gig, right? And most of our folks came from consulting backgrounds. This is kind of their standard mode of operation to begin with, which is, you know, really set the expectations. Let's talk about, you know, how are we going to address the line of business technology, put that together into a business case. How are we going to bring the right people from IBM into the opportunity to make sure that we have the right people that can help us through this? And again, this is not a complete list, but then really, you know, kind of lay out what are the responsibilities of both the client and IBM in this as a partnership. This goes back to, you know, setting expectations, partnering with them, getting an executive sponsor to make sure that, you know, when we do show up, the people will be available for interviews. And by the way, if you do this and do it right and the customer agrees, it's a great qualification, right? That means they're serious, they're going to invest the time, and you know, you've got some great buying signs that they're really, you know, looking to do this. If they're not willing to do this kind of work and they want a quick business case, you know, we could be column fodder or they could be using it to go to RFP. Just some food for thought. Go to the next slide. So the next slide, you know, if we look at, you know, what we're doing into 2010, you know, I talked a little bit about the investment we're making from the industry side. You know, if you look across Software Group, there's about 100 of us now across the brands and industry that do this work. And from a, you know, kind of look at, you know, some of these folks are in Tiger teams, some are not in Tiger teams. Obviously, we want to grow this, and we've been trying to scale it through a number of different methods. You know, obviously, you see that you know, we're working with all the Tiger teams to build out capabilities. And you know, if you look at BPM and what they're doing on that side of the house in that new brand, cross-brand group, you know, we're working with them to build out teams, and they're going to add quite a few people. You know, obviously, we're working with you folks. This is our first discussion around this. The WebSphere team is building out significant capabilities on the Tiger teams, and obviously we've already done this with the IAM team. One of the things that we're doing, and this the geos have asked us to do, because some analysis that was done is to kind of, you know, where are our skills, where are we weak in skill sets in our sellers, from our sellers' perspective, is obviously on the financial side. It's the biggest hole we have in IBM. And from a skills perspective, and we've been asked to help bring, you know, CSSSRs and SSRs and tech folks up to speed on this, and we piloted this starting last April. We've now run about 15 courses with, you know, typically in a face-to-face classroom type of setting where we take people through, you know, how do you build a business case and how do you do financial selling, and it's a lab-based, you know, it's presentation lab. We're actually formalizing this now and putting this under John Pryl's organization to help us kind of organize around this. But the plan is to have SMEs or subject matter experts from BVA teams actually lead these sessions. And we're looking to take, you know, another 1,600 people through this in 2010. So as these, you know, I'll work with Laura as we start to deliver these in the West and IMT regions in the U.S. and then across the globe, to make sure you folks are aware that these are on, because we have been bringing SWITAs and CETAs and brand IT people into these things so they can play, number one, either take it on themselves in smaller deals, because we can't be everywhere with a small team, and because of the, you know, the drive that customers have to prove value, that at some level we've got to get our sellers up to speed. So, you know, we're investigating lots of different ways to deploy this. You know, expect to get some communication on that from Laura here, you know, over Q4 and then into Q1 for opportunities to maybe participate in some of these. And then obviously we're working with to build more lightweight tools. You know, you guys, Cy went through Alinium with you folks. We're going to talk about that in a minute with Regan, if I actually finish here and give her some time. We're the Rational team is actually building out a product called Rational Financier, where we've built out some SOA templates and models, and we're looking for the brands to even invest more. So, you know, Regan will tell you where we are from a security perspective today, but as we start to look at these tools that we need to put out to the sales force, you know, we need to get these into your hands. And, you know, finally, you know, we have built, one of the ways we're trying to grassroots this thing is, you know, we've built a software group business value assessment space. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Lotus Communities. If any of you want to join that, I've opened up the community as non-moderated. If you want to go out to Lotus Connections, join the group, you can have much more access to our content. We're kicking this thing off with having into 2010 with more forums and blogs and stuff like that. So, you know, we're working with the team there. We've got about 500 people right now in the space. Everybody that we're taking through those classes, we're adding. We're planning to grow that community to about 2,500 people by the end of the year. So to kind of wrap this up, you know, slide 28, again, mothers and apple pies. This is a key component of what we do on our team from an industry perspective. We know that this increases our win rates. You know, we're at a 75% win rate when we do these. And track, you know, them through closure. We know our deal size is increases when we do this, and we sell cross-brand at an industry level. So this is, you know, and by the way, another piece of this, and I don't know how you guys work with your, you know, your ISS folks within the brand consulting groups. But I'll tell you, if you bring those folks into the process early too, we'll typically drag as much, if not more, in software group and GBS services by making them part of the virtual team. And so that's kind of the end there. Then real quickly, 29, there's my folks today and who we have. I'm obviously at the worldwide Tiger team level, and you see who's in the geos. These are people you can link to. If you go to slide 30, here's what the brands look like today. You can see Tivoli. We're trying to fill in the holes here, and Regan, you might want to talk a little bit about that because we do have some trained reps and technical folks actually in some of these other geos, but they're not organized around kind of a full-time leader. So obviously, Regan's got the East here in the U.S., and then you see what we have across the other brands. So obviously, I would love to see this chart completely filled out here as we go into 2010 and beyond. If you go to slide 31, final slide here, here's, and by the way, you've got this deck. You can click on all these links. If you want to join that space, I would encourage you to do that. You can get to our internal site right there. We have got repositories of our assets. You can pop into those. We're trying to roll out IRAM right now. For those of you that know what IRAM is, the IBM's Rational Asset Manager, we're working through some legal issues on putting customer data out there. And how we're going to lock it down, but hopefully we're going to have that deployed here in early Q1. We're working through some legal issues now, and if you want to get at the tool we're going to talk about, or the Alinion tool, you can grab it at those sites there. So, and then we're pretty meticulous about tracking our results, and we've got a reporting tool that we've actually are rolling out Siebel integration to here to keep track of these workshops and how we're influencing revenue. And then I would also encourage you that last row there on the Client Business Value Learning Center, if you want to get yourselves up to speed a little bit on this, there is a financial acumen class and some great content that's been produced by IBM Learning. And we've been using this in a lot of our training. So I would encourage you to go out to that site if you didn't know it existed, and you can, take some of these courses to just get up to speed a little bit on financial analysis. So I know that was a mouthful. I haven't even looked at the time. I probably went way over, but I'll open it up for questions, and we'll turn it over to Regan.
And Greg, Michelle again. May I ask a question on the chart 30?
Sure, yep.
Yeah, I'm looking at it, and you know that the Security Tiger team is mainly focusing on Tivoli and Rational from a software perspective, and as you pointed, the chart is a little empty outside Americas. I understand you are educating thousands of people, but my understanding is it's more an awareness than an execution. So my question is about execution outside U.S. Would you comment about for us Security Tiger team outside U.S., how do we engage?
Yeah, and Regan, if you want to jump in here too. So I would suggest at this point, obviously, our industry team has got coverage in each of the geos, and we've got folks on Tiger teams that can travel across geos. So, we can be one avenue to assist you. Now, the training we have been doing, the one day, is actually intended to teach these. It's, we're teach people to crawl, then to walk, then to run on this stuff. Some folks are, taking this to heart and understand that if they can enhance their skills, that, obviously in this kind of economy and going forward, that they'll have skills that they'll be able to take forward. So we do have some folks that, the intent of those classes are that, folks can build business cases on their own for small deals. And if you look at general business, these deals are, our average deal size in IBM for transactions are, 25 to 50K, and we just cannot, with the small team we have, engage at that level. So, part of the intent of that class is to teach people, how to feed themselves a little bit. But if you're looking at these bigger deals or the kind of the first of a kind, I would say that, partnering with myself and our teams, plus, where we have some Tivoli expertise, whether, and again, there are some folks in these geos, but they're not listed here. They just don't have full-time leaders. But I would say let's work with Cy at the worldwide level. Let's work with Regan and John within the U.S. Let's work with my team. And if you go to the Tivoli BVA page, you'll see the folks that have actually been trained in some of the tools. And some of those folks may have moved around. Regan, I know we got to probably update that page at some level. And maybe you can give us kind of a highlight of you know, what you see from a resource perspective going into 2010. But, you know, we'd be willing to engage. It's you know, do we have bandwidth? You know, we're typically scheduled 4 to 8 weeks out with our current, you know, 36 resources. But if it's obviously something we can assist with, whether, you know, from afar or on site, you know, we'd be happy to join in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tivoli perspective, as you see on the chart, there's two of us full-time in the field, which is John Eller supporting the West IMT and me supporting the East IMT. Cy Englert is our worldwide coordinator, and like Greg said, there are people designated in other geos to have ROI responsibility, but it is just a portion of their job. But Cy has maintains the current list of those people, and I'm not sure how often he gets the website updated to reflect changes. But if you try and contact somebody on the list and they're not available, you can always send an email to roi@us.ibm.com and ask Cy for help in identifying someone to work with you. The other thing is we have quite a bit of online training available for how to use the Alinean ROI tools with the templates that I'll be talking about. And so we encourage you to learn how to do some of this yourself. And I'll talk more about that as we get into my presentation.
Okay. Any other questions? Yeah, you know, Regan, I forgot about the ROI at us.ibm. Let's put a note on that. Let you and I chat about that because I need to get that into some of our content. But if you go to the links that I sent, if you go to, you know, if you can't find the Tivoli ROI page, and maybe you have that on your charts, if you go to the industry page, there is a link on that page on the right-hand side to all of the brand BVA websites. And if you go to the software root business value assessment space within Lotus Connections, you can get it from there too. So we can take that as a to-do and make sure you guys know where to go.
Yeah, and this information is also on our wiki on the IBM security framework page. There's a tools section, and in there we're listing not only what they've talked about, but some of the BVA tools that exist from ISS and some of the other areas.
Okay. All right, so, you know, appreciate your time here. You know, again, if you have any other questions, you can either ping me at the same time or send me an email. But let's, because we're kind of coming against the time here, let's I'll turn this over to Regan here to take you through some of the Tivoli stuff, and then we'll open up for questions at the end.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, and just a little bit about my background. I've been an IBM employee for about 30 years and started working for Tivoli about 11 or 12 years ago. I've been in the business value ROI role for 8 years, and that was from the very beginning of our relationship with Alinean, the vendor that we get our ROI tool from. So there's been a lot of change and transition in those 8 years, but fundamentally the job has stayed the same. We want to help close as much business as we possibly can. If you go to slide two, one of the biggest thing that we're going to talk about today is helping to understand the difference between what I do and John does and what Greg's team does, and help you understand when to use each process. And then Laura also asked me to talk some of the real-world tips from my involvement in these engagements. So slide three, I'm not going to belabor this. Same thing we keep hearing. ROI, financial business case, is a must in our accounts. And if you go to slide four, the challenges haven't really changed either. They've just gotten tougher. We've got an incredible number of products in our portfolio. I think within the ROI tool, we've got something like 150 or so products for Tivoli alone. It's getting harder to qualify customers. They're getting tighter and tighter with the dollars that they're spending, and competition is getting harder. And too often it ends up being a commodity discussion with price, feature, function. And we want to change that playing field a little bit.
We call the process that we do a rapid value analysis in order to differentiate it somewhat from what Greg's team does with the business value analysis. But it's the same goals. We want to shift it from a feature function discussion to a business value function, enable you to get in front of the C-level folks that you might not otherwise have the opportunity to interact with. And anytime we can do this and start talking business value, it increases the perception of the value that Tivoli brings to the table with our customers. We also frequently find that, especially with business partners, the first thing that the sales teams want to do is lead with higher discount levels. And we want to shift that a little bit and focus the discussion on how can our involvement help increase revenue for the customer. And that will then short-circuit some of the discounting discussion. We want to shorten the sales cycle. This also gives an opportunity to help justify services, whether from IBM or from our business partners, because I think everybody on the phone here has been around long enough to understand that when we have services engaged, it significantly improves the probability of a successful implementation with the customer. But bottom line is we want to help the sponsor at the customer justify the solution. We don't want to go in with IBM's business case. We want it to be the sponsor's business case. So a lot of the same type of stuff that you heard in Greg's presentation. Slide 6 is specifically about the RVA. And on average, our process takes about 1 to 2 weeks to complete, although I have been known to, in crunch circumstances, to complete a business case in a matter of hours. So you can see right there that it is a much simpler, streamlined process than what Greg was talking about. But there's always trade-offs. Ours is simple, quick, and relatively easy to do. It is not as comprehensive as the process that Greg was talking about. So one of the things we need to do is figure out for a given sales opportunity what is really required to justify the deal for the customer, and we'll talk about that a bit more. I'm part of the sales organization, so this is offered at no cost to the customer, but it is something that we need them to be engaged in, to be supporting and participating in the process. So the cost to the customer is more in their time and effort. We also engage with the sales team. We are supporting the sales team. But the sales team still own and drive the process. What John and I or some of the other people that have been trained on the tool and other GEOs provide is ROI and the Alinean tool expertise. We are not product experts, and we are not industry experts. So we need to work closely with both the technical and sales portion of the sales team for them to provide that level of expertise. We can tell you what are the typical benefits that are associated with a given product. But if the customer starts asking detailed questions about exactly how is your product going to help us reduce application time to market, we need somebody on the sales team side to be able to address those questions and provide that level of expertise. The way we work is we use something called templates, and we have a template for security, a template for Tivoli storage management products, and a template for automation, and a template for asset management. And we'll go into a little bit about what that means. But it's these templates that provide the ease of use for the products. Where Greg's team comes in really with an industry line of business focus, we're typically engaged through IT. And in the process of building out the ROI, we might engage with somebody on the line of business side, but typically our primary contact is through the IT organization. What we end up producing as a deliverable is a financial analysis report. We don't get involved in the architecture, the roadmap, all those other things, aspects that Greg was talking about. Once again, those are the components that the sales team needs to be working either with their own expertise or engaging other groups within IBM to provide those aspects of that complete story that Greg talked about. Before we move on, any questions in general about the RVA versus the BVA that Greg was talking about? Okay, then going on to slide 7, what is a template? And slide 8, basically a template is a collection of predefined questions that we need to collect the information about the customer's current environment, predefined benefits that are associated with different product sets, and predefined costs. So each of those can include defaults, mainly for the questionnaire and the benefit assumptions. So I can start with something as simple as what is the annual revenue of a company and what industry are they in, and generate an entire business case that can be used as a starting point discussion that's based strictly on industry assumptions. On the cost piece of it, we don't provide any of the any defaults for cost information. We need the account teams to provide the cost information for us. It just gets too complex with IBM pricing and things like that to provide defaults for all of the products in there. The templates are driven by an underlying Excel spreadsheet. So essentially, we can do anything in the ROI tools that can be done within Excel. We provide the canned predetermined benefits, but there are often unique benefits to a specific customer that we might want to include as well. And we have the capability in a variety of levels to add additional benefits to the analysis where it's appropriate. Cy in his presentation probably went a bit more detail into some of the specifics of the tool. And as I said, there is online training available to help you learn how to operate it yourself. But basically, you select the products that you want to model. You put in some basic information about the customer environment, and then you can generate an initial report that you can start reviewing and refining. This can be a very, very simple process. Especially early in the sales cycle where you're really just trying to generate something that you can use to get the customer's attention. But it has the full power of the Alinean tool behind it and can be very, very powerful and functional in looking at things almost any way that the customer wants to approach it. On slide 9, you'll see the list of the security products that are included in the template, and it's pretty comprehensive. Usually the templates get updated once or twice a year. We try to update the template as quickly as possible when new releases and versions of the products are announced. And what we do is we work with Alinean and their industry expertise, and they have relationships with the IDC for industry metrics, and the product development team gets involved. So when a new product or a new version comes out, we sit down together and talk about are the capabilities of the product. From an industry standpoint, what does Alinean know about how those types of capabilities affect customers? And from a product development team standpoint, they bring the knowledge of is the product set being used in IBM customers? What are customer actual experiences? Possibly what are experiences from any of the beta testing that's being done? And take all of that information together to build out the predefined benefits associated with that product. If you go to the slide 10, you'll see a list of some of the major predefined security benefits that we have in the tool. Frequently a big one is labor savings, and what we do there is we divide the labor categories into different job functions within the security department and then ask, how many people are involved in each of those types of functions. And then we make some assumptions on how much can we improve that. So it's not a detailed time and task type of process that you might get out of the IBVA, but it's a more generic. So to give you kind of an example, I was looking at Greg's slide presentation, and one of the benefits on one of his slides was streamline the mortgage origination process from 28 to 12 days. You can see that was very specific to that customer, whereas in ours, it would be a more generic benefit of reduce application time to market. So that gives you a general feel for the difference in depth of the benefit level that we go to. Now, where you have something specific that you know about, as I said, we can incorporate that in. But we don't go out and spend multiple days on site trying to uncover that. If you need that level of analysis, we can work with you and as somebody on your team goes out to do that, or you can, if it really fits the industry model, get Greg's team engaged. In other cases, we've been able to get services involved, either on a fee waived or a contract basis, to do some of that detailed time and task type of work, and then we help put that into a business case. If you go to slide 11, you'll see an example of one of the security benefits. This is a big one for the ESSO product as well as for TIM with password reset service desk savings. And one of the things that customers really like about this process is that everything is
fully un ambiente on demand.
Everything's fully transparent to the customer.
Si la información de su empresa está fragmentada y almacenada en lugares distintos, IBM le ofrece una solución de consolidación de información que mejora la utilización de sus activos y disminuye...
I'm getting the operator to turn off that line. Okay. They see exactly how the calculations are performed. They know where all of the metrics came from, and they can adjust anything that they want to in here. So they have complete control over the entire process. And going through these benefits with them is part of an interactive process so that they understand exactly what the benefits are, how they were calculated, where the numbers come from, and this is where we get their buy-in and make the adjustments until they are willing and able to take ownership of the entire ROI. Slide 12 shows you just a screenshot of a portion of a white paper that we have that's called the Product Savings Source Document. And in this, we list all of the products that are in the ROI tool, in the security template. And for each product, we say what are the typical benefits that we see associated with that product and give you a one or two sentence explanation of how the product drives that benefit. This is just a screenshot from a portion of the Federated Identity Management product. And this is a customer-ready deliverable, so you can, if you want, you can use it for your own purposes or you can share it with the customers. Slide 13 is, what does a rapid value assessment represent? It's important to remember it's an estimate of the potential ROI. We're not making any specific commitments to the customer, and it assumes that the predefined benefits that we have are applicable to the given customer. The benefit methodology is sound, which IDC has attested to, and that all of our assumptions and cost inputs are valid and applicable to this customer. Also, probably the most challenging in terms of when people want to go back and prove that they met their ROI, it assumes that the software implementation and process changes that are required are successful, which is obviously something that we have no control over or minimal control over unless services is really doing all of it. Because we're running short on time, I'm going to skip through the next few slides and get to slide 19, which is some of the real-world tips. And the very first one is to get the business value discussion started early in the sales cycle. And that can be almost from day one. Using the templates, it's very easy to generate a sample report where you've got something that you can go to with the customer and say, hey, this is where we typically see the types of benefits from this type of solution. Are these the things that you see being significant in your environment? And get it right away out of that feature function discussion into what's it actually going to provide to the customer. Another one of the things that's very important, and Greg mentioned as well early on, find out what the customer needs for financial justification. We don't want to spend any more time or resource, either from IBM or from the customer, when it's not required. And I've been involved in some situations where really all the customer needed was a little bit of information to show that they had done due diligence and that the solution would provide benefit. And in some cases, the product saving source white paper or a sample report that was based on what another customer did was completely sufficient for the customer needs. In other cases, the quick and simple ROI that can be generated and reviewed with the customer in a couple of days using the templates is adequate. And then in some cases, the multi-week in-depth analysis is a requirement. Now, obviously, when you're looking at companies requiring business justification for anything over $50,000, you're not going to send three people on site for 2 weeks for a $50,000 deal. And that's where the value of the RVA process really comes in. There's also this large middle ground between the two where frequently I've started with a simple, straightforward RVA template-based analysis, and the customer needed to dive deeper. And so we spent more time working with them to identify specific benefits in their environment and incorporate that into the two. And it's also worked the other way, where the industry teams have been involved in an engagement that had a Tivoli component. And rather than reinvent the wheel on the Tivoli pieces, they've engaged me to work with them to help build out the Tivoli portion of it. So there is, it's not necessarily an either-or. There can be hybrid elements in between. The ROI analysis, as Greg was showing, is really just one component of an entire business case story. And even where you're using the RVA, that's absolutely true, but so you'll also need to be looking at taking advantage of references, case studies, white papers, the competitive analysis teams, everything else, and those are aspects that we don't really get involved in. As you can tell just by the fact that there's two of us for all of the U.S. for all Tivoli products as opposed to, I think it was 36 on Greg's team, we just don't have the resources to cover all areas. We do encourage you, though, if you're doing a POT or POC, to incorporate the ROI into that effort, because frequently you can get information, if you're aware of it, collect information during the POT or POC that can then be built into the ROI analysis and provides additional credibility to the entire effort. I already talked about that we need you all to be providing some of the technical and industry sales knowledge, but the last two bullets are the most critical. Always, always, always involve the customer in the process. I've seen too many cases where a sales rep used the Alinion tool to generate an ROI report, and then just gave that to the customer as, here is your ROI. And I can guarantee that 99.9% of the time, that will backfire. You have to work with the customer and make it their case. You can't just give it to them. When you do generate a business case, it has to be reviewed for reasonableness. I've seen sales reps put things in front of customers that if you just take a little bit deeper look at it are absolutely ludicrous, and they lose credibility with the customer from the very moment the customer opens the document. That can be things in general, just like passing a smell test. I've if you end up with an ROI that says they're going to save more FTEs than they actually have employed, the customer's going to think you're out of your mind. Also, things like taking a look at direct benefits versus indirect benefits and how much of your business case is coming from soft dollar areas. If you've got a very large proportion of the benefit coming from soft dollars, you've probably got a problem. We're running out of time. I see we're right up at about 10:30, so I won't go any deeper right now. I'll open up for questions, but I am available for anybody that's working with the East IMT, and John Eller is for the West IMT. Anything else, send an email to sci@roi@us.ibm.com. So now any questions? That was kind of the whirlwind version.
Yep.
All right. Well, if there are no questions, I really want to thank Regan and Greg for the insight that they provided to us. And having worked with both of these people for several years, they are just awesome and consistently go out of their way to make you successful in your overall sales situations. If they can't help you out, they know a lot of people who can, and that's always one of the values that we have in many of our supporting staff, and these two are just unbelievable. So I want to thank you for your session and wish everybody good selling for the rest of the year. Thank you.
This does conclude today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.